Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos. Joining with me in the extra hour is Pat.
Good day.
Good day. And Chris.
Hello.
Oh, my goodness. We just finished the first hour, and we're talking about Christians that were being persecuted, are being persecuted in Muslim countries. We're going to talk about this. We're going to shed some light and some perspective, biblical perspective, on what we can do to pray with our brothers and our sisters. We talked about the wonderful winnings of the young men in Oklahoma who are sowing seed in the gospel in missions. If you missed the first hour, you got to catch it. And coming up in the extra hour, we're going to be talking about the fear of the Lord. We need the fear of the Lord.
Yeah.
This is a good place to just stay low and get as much as we can. Absolutely.
I know.
We're also going to be talking about in the extra hour, devoted love. We need some devoted love these days. Well, you know, we're just talking about and listening to a segment that we played on CBN, Crucified Again. It's the new Islamic war on Christians. And we're seeing, you know, unprecedented attacks. And you're seeing this. And the mainstream media doesn't seem to be covering this at all. And in particular, you're seeing the Muslim Brotherhood, who was given access by this president in his administration, and they were where he spoke in Egypt, in Cairo, Egypt, when he gave his speech, I believe in 2009, and invited the Muslim Brotherhood against the suggestion of the president of Egypt at that time, Mubarak, who's no longer president of Egypt because he was overthrown by the Muslim Brotherhood. Now the Muslim Brotherhood is persecuting Christians in Egypt by the thousands. But it's not just happening in Egypt, it's happening in Morocco, it's happening in Indonesia, it's happening in Iran, and we're seeing pastors like Abedini Saeed,
right,
who's in Evin prison, who is still in Evin prison, who has an internal bleeding. This is in Iran. Also, Pastor Youssef, who was just released not too long ago after serving, I believe, 3 years in prison, in an Iranian prison for evangelizing. And now we heard about Asia, a woman who has been in prison 4 years for boldly proclaiming that Jesus is Lord. You know, I look at these brothers and sisters of ours as absolute heroes of the faith. I'm not worthy of their presence.
No.
Listen. Knowing that they would be persecuted, knowing that it could cost them their life because it's cost others their life,
right,
their gathering places, their fellowships have been torched and bombed, and yet in the face of that, where they are an oppressed minority, they're willing to stand boldly for Jesus Christ and suffer whatever consequences that comes with his glorious name. Let me tell you, this is the type of resolve that we need to have as believers here in the West. This is the type of resolve that we need to have in the boldness to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. That no matter what, we're going to stay true. No matter what, we cannot, will not deny him, his existence, his power, and his love. And no, we will not remain silent. We will share it with the whole world, even if it cost us everything. Even if it costs us everything, you must be willing. And I look at them with just great honor and respect. What we can do here in America, those that can freely worship the Lord, those who can freely worship God without persecution, it's amazing what you can take for granted.
Yeah.
You know, some believers' homes have 5 and 6 and 7 Bibles. Yet George Barna tells us in his research that only 19% of believers are actually abiding in the Word of God. That means that 81%, with no telling how many Bibles are in their home, in their cars, all over the place, and they're not even reading them.
Right.
Yet our brothers and sisters around the world are being absolutely persecuted and tortured for Jesus.
That's right.
For Jesus. We can stand with them. And I want to encourage you to listen to a segment. We'll have this related for you here on The Torch called JJ, Jesus and the Jews. And we talk about that. This is what you're seeing in radical Islam. You're seeing the persecution of the Jewish people, those in Israel, and the Christians. You're seeing the Jews. And so we want to stand for truth. We want to realize that, listen, you know, this is the Quran teaches this. The Quran teaches, and you can look, again, on The Torch, Quran versus the Bible. You can do a side-by-side comparison. But there's three options. Either can convert, go into servitude, who the Quran teaches, or off with your head.
Yeah.
Off with your head. I mean, their symbol is a sword. And so you want to see, you need to understand, get some truth on the inside of you and see for yourself and hear for yourself and get a revelation for yourself to know exactly what is happening, because it's very, very important. It's very important. And the other thing that we can do is, you know, I want to challenge you today. You listen to VFN Radio, and you're hearing about persecution, and you know, we can fall into a rut that says, you know, oh, poor brothers and sisters, Lord, bless them, and we just can go on in our merry ways.
Right.
But why not? Why not today write down in your journal, your prayer journal, your abiding journal, that you're going to pray, that you're going to pray for persecuted believers in Egypt, that you're going to pray for persecuted believers in Iran, that you're going to pray for persecuted believers in Indonesia and in Morocco and in China and other places around the world, that you're going to stand in the gap for them. Listen, when these are our brothers and sisters, and as we continue to pray, listen, the rise of Islam, according to what we just heard, came on the heels of what was happening in the 60s here with this revolution, social revolution, is this the whole movement of liberation. And my goodness, it emboldened them to say, America's just lost. Is that what they want? We're going to go stronger and harder. And it happened because of us.
Right.
Let me tell you, we want to see, we are believing for a great move of God. But we got to turn our hearts back to the Lord. We've got to get right with God. We've got to humble ourselves, repent, right? 2 Chronicles 7:14, and turn from our wicked ways, acknowledge them as sin, and say, Jesus is Lord. We want a blessed nation, but we're not going to get a blessed nation. Revival starts. Where revival starts? It starts in your heart first. That's the first place where revival starts, in your heart. All it takes is one. We talked about the young people yesterday in Pennsylvania that had a Bible club, 600 students, and people wonder, you know, can I make a difference? Listen, a raging fire starts with one match.
That's it.
The question is, are you willing to be the match? Are you willing to keep your flame going even when you're in the midst of the darkest areas? When there's no other light around you? And we often say, and I often say, that light belongs in darkness. But it appears that a lot of believers like to take their light and gather it around other light. The light belongs not around other light. The light belongs in the darkness. And from the darkness, it needs to shine out. But if we do that, and if we allow our flame, if we become keepers and guardians of the flame, there's a fire that can start. There's a fire that can start that will be a raging fire. And then we're talking about revival. We're talking about the Great Awakening. We're talking about souls. We're talking about and nations. Hopefully we can talk about this today on the radio today, how nations can be won in a day. Nations in a day. Increase your vision. But it's going to happen when we get outside of, and I'm talking, you know, Americans in the West, right? Believers in the West. And we get outside of an American mindset that limits the gospel, that no, we are citizens of heaven first, before we're citizens, right, of America.
That's right.
That it's a godly kingdom, and we have brothers and sisters in different countries that are right now standing firm for the truth, and it's costing them their entire lives, costing them everything.
Yeah.
The least we can do, the least we can do is stand with them,
mm-hmm.
the heroes of the faith. I'm in awe of them.
Yeah.
And say, listen, we're going to pray for you. We're going to pray that God would strengthen you. We're going to pray that you continue to stand firm. You know, I was just thinking about this. In Vietnam, and I forget the person's name at the time. He was a revolutionary in Vietnam, and maybe it'll come to me. But they were being pounded. And he said, if they keep hitting us harder, and I'm paraphrasing, mm-hmm. we're just going to get stronger. I mean, you look at some of these revolutionists from all, I mean, they
was this during the Vietnam War?
I'm not necessarily sure. I think it was during that era, but during that time, and Ho Chi Minh, I believe his name is Ho Chi Minh, and the fortitude, the perseverance was absolutely amazing. And they said, if you strike us, you're not going to discourage us. You're not going to cause us to go away, but we're just going to make us stronger. You're just going to make us stronger. And listen, we need to have a backbone these days. We need to be willing to suffer and go through something, especially for the cause of Christ. When you think about all the Christian martyrs that have given their lives for the gospel, who refuse to back down, who refuse to deny Jesus as Lord, can we do any less in our generation? Can we do any less in the season that God has given us? We need to be like David. David, it said in the Bible, he served his generation well.
Yeah. Ho Chi Minh, he's actually, he was a revolutionary back in 1941. And helped defeat the French that were apparently attacking them or occupying. I'm not sure exactly the
right,
details.
Right.
Of
that. Well, it's just amazing. You know, it's just amazing, and it's really just in America that we've been so comfortable in our convenience, in our technology, in our luxuries. And let me tell you, if you're not willing to go through something, you got to be willing to go through something. And if you're not willing to go through something for Jesus, you're not going to be willing to go through anything for anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to tell you that we're living in a time and in a season that's going to take everything we have. It's going to take us to be so focused because, you know, times are coming. Difficult times are coming ahead. And especially when you look at what's happening with Israel, as goes Israel, so goes the church.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not praying now, believe me, you will have plenty of reason to pray later, but why wait for later?
Yeah.
Why wait for later when you can begin now to change the course of history by being an intercessor, one that stands in the gap? You know, someone once said, what's the greater honor, to speak to men on behalf of God or to speak to God on the behalf of men? Let me tell you something. Prayer changes things. And when we pray God's will upon the earth that he's given us dominion over, mm-hmm. listen, that's a prayer that God can answer. You know, all true prayer starts in the heart of God. It allows us to touch us in our heart, and then we pray it back up to him. It's a continual circular motion from God's heart to our heart to pray back up to God, from God's heart to our heart,
mm-hmm.
goes, you know, right back up. And we want to stay in that continual flow of intercession, because it's when we only cry out to God in humility,
mm-hmm.
in brokenness, and in the heart of repentance, we're going to see a tremendous, tremendous move of God. So I want to encourage you, listen, don't let our brothers and sisters around the world, let them encourage us, let them fan the flame of our hearts and say, listen, how can we do any less? Refuse to allow borderlines of countries to separate you. There is no borderlines in Christianity. Listen, those are our brothers and sisters in Egypt. Those are our brothers and sisters in Morocco and all these places that in Iran that they're being persecuted in.
Right.
Those are our brothers and sisters. But if we stand with them, my goodness, if we stand with them, we're going to see the salvation of the Lord. We're going to see it. It's going to happen all across the world. And I'm excited for all of those that are coming to God all around the world. And I'm excited about what's happening in South Africa. I mean, it's just absolutely powerful. People are coming to God, man. They're
yeah.
coming to God. And, you know, on the third hour, it's a great time to actually mention that right now. In the third hour, you know, you can catch VFN Radio if you are not able to catch it live, you can catch us on a 24-hour loop. But we've added the third hour. We've added the third hour, and that is live from South Africa, the Great Awakening, where Todd Bentley's being used right now by God, and many, many people are coming to the Lord in South Africa. There's many tremendous healings. Mm-hmm. And if you want to be encouraged, just let that just get all over you. Hear that word,
yeah,
and
let
it stir your heart. Isn't it
and
amazing?
The miracles, oh my goodness, beautiful.
Blind eyes are being seen.
Being open.
Yeah. Being open, and they're able to see.
Yeah.
People coming out of wheelchairs.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, you know, the greatest miracle is someone who was lost and bound and going to hell, mm-hmm, away from God. The greatest miracle is when that person finds the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. That's the greatest miracle that could ever happen. And so we want to definitely encourage you to tune in and share with your friends. Also, if you missed yesterday's program, we do want to encourage you to go on the torch. You've been on the torch lately. You want to make sure that you go to the torch by going to VFNTV.com and selecting the flaming arrow, or the flaming torch, rather, mm-hmm, that's moving around there. And once you select that, then you can go directly to the torch and see all the different highlights and all the different segments. In yesterday's program, we talked about, and this is very encouraging, besides the fitness program that I have available there for you if you want to take a look at it. But on a more
serious, that's what you call it.
It's a fitness program. We talked about how failure is not final. And that's so important, because sometimes when you hit a bump in the road and you have a mm-hmm setback,
yeah,
it's amazing how you can just stay there and just stay there. And stay there. It's like, you got to get up. You got to get up. The Bible says that a righteous man falls seven times, mm-hmm, yet he gets up again. And you can get up in God. Mm-hmm. You can get up in God. Trust me, the enemy is there to lie to you. The enemy is there to tell you that you can't do it, that it's over. This was the big one. Mm-hmm. That you can't make it out of this. And no matter what you're facing today, whether it's an economic failure, if it's a relational failure, if it's a marriage situation, or your children, and you're facing some sort of devastation where you feel that you have just failed miserably, let me tell you, it's not over. It's not over. God loves you. And he's willing to give you a chance. He's willing to give you a break. He's willing to pull you out of that. All you need to do is respond to him. All you need to do is look up and cry out to him and say, God, here I am. It's amazing how we come to the end of ourselves. That's, you know, where God can begin to move. We also talked about how Israel is ready for war as Syria civil war continues. And pray for Israel. Pray for Israel. Things are really heating up out there. 80,000 people have passed away and died, have been killed in this war in Syria, mm-hmm, and, you know, Israel has two concerns. Listen, we don't want this war that you're having in Syria to spill over on our borders, and now we have an issue to contain this. And the second thing is that they don't want those chemical weapons that Syria has, a stockpile of them, mm-hmm, to fall in the hands of Hezbollah or any of the other enemies that Israel has.
Right.
So Israel's willing to do whatever they have to do to defend themselves. Listen, you want to stay plugged into VFN Radio. You want to share this with your friends. Things are happening every single day. And it's our time to connect with you and to encourage you and to shed and share the light.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com.
How do you come up with a good time for a curfew for your teen? This is Focus on the Family Minute, and I'm John Fuller. Well, here's psychologist Dr. Kevin Lehman, who realized that question was best answered by his teenager.
Some people are surprised to learn the Lehman kids, all five of them, they never had a curfew. And people say, well, what do you mean they didn't have a curfew? Well, let me try it again. They never had a curfew. They didn't like it. Because they'd always ask the question.
Because they'd always come home earlier than you.
Oh, they'd always ask the question. Dad, what time are you home? You'll be home at a reasonable hour. They hated that. They'd rather have me say, you'll be home at 1 a.m. or you're going to turn into a pumpkin. But we didn't. We put that tennis ball of life on their side of the court. But we also expected the best of them.
Empowering your teen to make their own choices while still under your roof helps them launch into adulthood more easily. And you'll hear more trusted advice from Dr. Kevin Lehman today at focusonthefamily.com/radio.
We're going to be releasing this week on VFN TV, This Generation. Go to VFN TV. Go to VFNTV.com. This is VFN Radio you're listening to. Go to VFNTV.com and go to VFN TV in your menu, and you'll see a prophetic teaching about this generation. It's called This Generation. And it's time for us to wake up and respond. And it's going to encourage you because it's going to give you a perspective that if not, the things that we won't give up now, God will have taken away from us.
Mm-hmm.
He'll look, and there's raiders coming in as we speak, trying to raid the coffers, the government, the taxes, the freedoms, the Constitution, all these different things. But understand that God is allowing that. He's not doing it. He's allowing it to take place. It's his permissive will because of the choices that we've made, and he's intentionally allowing it. It's intentional. There's always somebody that wants to raid you,
mm-hmm.
but he's keeping them back. And then, you know, if we don't respond, it just escalates and gets worse in regards to that. Even being sold as a slave to your enemy. You know, slavery didn't start in America. Slavery's been around since day one. Even mm-hmm. Jesus said, you know, as Christians, you know, slaves obey your masters as unto the Lord. If you can get your freedom, get your freedom. So in the context of that, it was just an everyday conversation then. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be sold to my enemy. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I don't want to be sold to my enemy. But I can't be in rebellion to God and think that the end's going to be good. You know, and it may happen on an individual basis. You got to listen to this. Listen to it. It's called This Generation. And what it is you have a pagan generation. But it's not unusual for a generation who has not yet received or didn't receive the gospel being transferred to their generation to be paganistic. But there's hope. There is hope, and God has a way to do that. Go to VFNTV.com and choose VFN TV on the menu and look for This Generation and begin to listen to it now and share it with your friends. It's a prophetic word for this day and this time. I want to thank you for everybody that's joining in on our Facebook. You know, you can get to it by going to VFNTV.com, or you can go to Facebook.com/VFNTV. It's easier to go to VFNTV and click on that. But think about it. It is so cool. Every day, no matter where you are, inside the community with over a billion people now, 1/6 of the world's population is in this particular community. Everybody's saying, you got a Facebook. We got a Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
We got a Facebook, and it's over, I don't know, it's over 5,000. It's just clicking up, and just you're joining us, and we're so excited about that because every day we're in communication. All the highlights that are on your VFN TV app, that's at VFNTV.com, is also on your Facebook, so it follows us everywhere we go. We got a virtual audience, a virtual stadium, if you would, that's being filled all around the world, and now we're in the Facebook community. Thank you. And if you have not yet, you know, go to our Facebook and like us. Go to Facebook.com/VFNTV and click on like. And what does that mean? When you do that, every post that goes out on our Facebook shows up on your Facebook every single day. So you can say, hey, that segment was about me. I want to be encouraged today. Maybe every day you listen to the wisdom moment. Maybe there's God's news behind the news and something's coming up that says, you know, I needed to know what God's perspective, the word is on that particular thing. Listen, this is the conversation that we're having together in the virtual audience of our Facebook. Go to VFNTV.com and click on our Facebook, or at VFNFacebook.com/VFNTV.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John, and joining with me today is Pat and Chris, and we're talking about Israel. We're talking about some of the programs said in segments that we had yesterday in the program. Listen, get a chance to go to the Torch. Share it with a friend. Be encouraged. There's over 1,500 highlights on the Torch, over 1,500, and there is plenty for you to find there to be encouraged. It doesn't cost you a thing. And that's a tremendous blessing. But if you want to sow and be a part of it, you know, there's a giving opportunity where you want to continue to help us spread all the way across the world and have more people connected. You can do that as well. Well, I wanted to share about devoted love. This is so, the Word of God is just so powerful. It's like, okay, God, I will read this again. I will read this again. But Romans 12:9 says that love must be sincere. Love must be sincere.
Mm-hmm.
Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Kind of simple, right?
Yeah.
English, right?
Right, right.
And then verse 10 says, be devoted to one another. Now, some people just kind of stop right there to be devoted to one another. But you got to listen to, you got to read the rest of the scripture. You got to read the whole thing. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love.
Mm.
A lot of people are devoted to each other, but what are they devoted to? What's your devotion based upon?
Mm-hmm.
What is that commitment based upon? And we need a commitment that's based upon love. And hopefully we'll get a chance to talk in the coming weeks about all the one another's in the Bible. There is a whole bunch of them. And it's real important. God wants us to know how to relate to each other and take care of each other. And that's really, really important. You know, the commandments, there's 10 of them. You have some that deal with your response to God, and the other ones have to do with your response to others. Each other's.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so you've got a vertical responsibility and you got a horizontal responsibility, and it's very important to God. And in Matthew 25, you read there about the sheep and the goats. And Jesus says something that, I mean, it's so stunning to me. It's really so amazing. It's probably one of my favorite scriptures because it really gives me personal perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But in Matthew 25:31, he talks about when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on the right and the goats on the left. And in verse 34 he says, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. Man, talk about music to your ears. Who doesn't want to hear that?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Or, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? They're like, what is Jesus talking about here? Or thirsty and gave you something to drink? You could just hear Peter saying, where was I? Did I miss that? What day was that? You know, when did you see a stranger and invite? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? And this is, he goes on to say, and when did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you? Like, help us out here. When did this happen?
Mm-hmm.
And then Jesus says these powerful words. He says, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. That is powerful. I mean, Jesus is saying that whatever you do to the least of these brothers of mine, you are literally doing it for Jesus Christ. Talk about perspective and motivation for doing the right thing for others,
mm-hmm.
to stepping outside of yourself, laying yourself, your wants, your desires, your conveniences aside for somebody else.
Mm, imagine that.
What greater motivation to know that you're not just doing it horizontally for your neighbor, horizontally for your family member, horizontally for your friend, but you're actually literally ministering to Jesus Christ.
Wow.
I mean, talk about exciting. You know, John 15, you know, Jesus says that we'll be known by this. We will be known by the love that we have for one another. The world will be saved. The world will be one when they see us love one another. We can literally evangelize the world just by love and taking care of each other and being devoted. You think about devotion and devoted. The word means faithful. It means committed, unwavering, dedicated, a feeling or demonstrating loyalty, purposeful. We need devoted love. Love that's going to stick, stay, and stand even when it stinks. Mm. We need to have unwavering love. So many people today are non-committal. They will continue in a relationship as long as things seem to be going well, right?
Right.
As long as things are going right. Mm-hmm. But isn't it amazing that as soon as there's the first crack of disagreement or the first things that don't go your way, or all of a sudden it's like, I don't know about this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. So someone once told me that the reason why they love pets, they don't like people. This wasn't a believer, but they told me, I don't like people, but I love my dog. I love my dog more than I love people. I said, wow. And you know what happens is that people get so hurt that they just, you know, they wind up getting offended and they just close themselves off and they say, you know what, I'm just not going to put myself out there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, to love, you risk being hurt. But you can't love and guard yourself at the same time. You can't have your arms stretched wide open for love and one hand guarding yourself too. You love was displayed. Love was wide open. Love is arms outstretched.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? You can and probably will get hurt.
Yeah.
Part of life. But the question is, and even if there was a song about it, how deep is your love? I won't attempt to sing that. That's an old song. And
yeah, please don't.
Yeah, I won't. But you think about how deep is your, how deep does that love run? Do you have an inch of river love? Do you have a, you know, a couple of feet?
A raging river.
You know what? What do you have? Do you have a little flow of like ankle? I have an ankle depth love for you right now, and we are running low. We are running low. We've reached our limit. Or do you have an abundant level of love that you allow to channel through you? See, God wants it to be channels of love. It's His love that pours through us. But what happens is that when we get offended and we get hurt, we stick ourselves up in the middle of the channel and the love can no longer flow through us. In order for the love to flow through us, we have to lay ourselves down so that God's love can just go right through us. It's not about us or what we want or what our flesh desires. You know what? Sometimes that can be tough. But you don't stop, right? We pray about it. We say, listen, God, I don't want to be in the way. I don't want to get in the way of your love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can partner with God, but it takes commitment.
Right.
Devoted love. Just listen, one another. This is in Romans 12. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. It's amazing how people are devoted in so many ways. They're devoted to a job because they know they're going to get a paycheck. They're faithful at work.
Right.
They're the best employee in the world. There's a paycheck behind that.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're devoted to a team to play sports or whatever because they're going to get something out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But can you be devoted to what God says is the truth, whether you're going to receive anything out of it or not? And it's important.
Mm-hmm.
It's important that we come to a point in our walk with the Lord where we say, God, you know, it's not about me.
Yeah, exactly. That reminds me of the children of Israel. And when God brought them out of Egypt,
mm-hmm.
you know, they were just, you know, shouting and praising and worshiping God. But the moment they had any type of resistance, any type of uncomfortability,
yeah,
immediately they revert back to complaining and murmuring. As like, why did you bring us out of this desert to
right,
kill us? Blah,
right.
blah, 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 blah. And then God's like, okay. In his great patience, you know, he split the sea open for them. He brought them over, and, you know, the water came down on their enemies, and then they're, you know, then they get to their next destination.
Right.
Of course, they're praising God. Oh, he delivered us. Ah! And then they come to bitter waters, and they're like, I don't know about this. You know, it's like over and over and over again. Their devotion was only as long as things were going well for them.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is not devotion at all.
No.
Zero.
Zero.
You know what I'm saying?
It's powerful because it's, you know, that's a fickle love. You know what I mean? It's like, come on, if we can only love during the good times, we got an issue here. You know what I mean? We need to sign up for that devoted love. Mm-hmm. You know, that love that's going to stand strong. And that's when you need to show up. Mm-hmm. You know, there is a time that you're present, but there's nothing like being present when the chips are down, when there's crisis, when there's tragedy. And listen, you're going to face this stuff. You want to know, they say, testing your mettle. Test your love. Test your love. And that's when it counts. But we have a generation right now that they're just fair weather. And if it's not about me, mine, now, what my flesh wants, it's just I'm not gonna stick, stay, and stand. And that's why you're seeing that relationships are being broken. Mm-hmm. You see dysfunction in homes. You've been seeing dysfunction everywhere because everyone thinks that they're entitled to something. They're entitled to comfort and convenience and no pain.
Exactly. Unbelievable. I mean, as long as things are going well. You know, we're real dedicated, but things, as soon as that wrinkle comes.
Right. And you know what? You can be encouraged today. You can be encouraged today because this is what God's requiring. He says, listen, this is how you love. Just be devoted. We're not going to make it without commitment to each other. And brothers and sisters in the Lord, we have to suffer. Mm-hmm. Suffer with each other. You know, when one is down, it says, pity the one who falls and has no one to pick him up. You know, but the bond of a cord of three strands is not easily broken. And when we walk together, we can walk through the fires. We can walk through the trials. We can walk through the situations that we're facing in life. And we know that we have someone in our life that is devoted to God and devoted to us in God's love.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing about love. It sticks. You know, love perseveres. It's willing to go through something. You know, love says, let's try again.
Mm-hmm.
You got to try again. Right. Okay, so it didn't work out. We got to try again. You know, love forgives. It really does. It truly forgives. Forgives means I choose not to remember it anymore, and I choose not to count this against you.
Mm-hmm.
If you say that I forgive you, but I have to keep a mental log of what you did because, you know, I need to remind you about this later,
mm-hmm.
That's not forgiveness. Forgiveness is trusting God with that. You're releasing that person, right, and saying, I'm just going to trust God with it. He's got 70 times 7, right?
That's right.
For the same offense.
Right.
And love also means you go first. You go first. You go first. That's the, you know, that's the blessing that we can participate in. But oftentimes what stops love, I'm talking about brotherly love, being devoted in brotherly love one to another, normally 9 out of 10 times you're going to see, and probably 10 out of 10 times, pride.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pride.
Right.
Because, you know, lack of humility, obviously, right? Don't want to suffer any pain or loss. Nope. Lack of perseverance. People just give up.
Yeah.
They just give up. You got to have some stick-to-itiveness inside of you. You got to have some willingness to stand and say, you know what? I want to grow in the ways of God. I want to recognize and realize that this is a way that I can love God. God said, whatever you've done to the least of these brothers of mine, you have done to me. So if I suffer for a brother, I'm suffering for Jesus. If I'm denying myself, I'm denying Jesus. If I'm willing to go through some suffering and standing in the middle of this thing, even though I may not win and it may not look good for me, I am doing this for Jesus, and I'm trusting that God is going to replenish my account. Whatever that I've lost in this, whatever that I went through, whatever I suffered, I am going to go to the source because I did it for Jesus. I'm going to go to the source and allow him to refill me,
mm-hmm.
what I allow to pour out. And I'm telling you, this is, we're seeing a time where every word of the Bible is coming to pass, and the love of many is growing cold. It's growing cold. Mm-hmm. We want to make sure that we stay red hot love for one another, and that we remain devoted and faithful to brothers and sisters in the Lord, and really love our fellow man.
Mm-hmm.
Because as we continue to share God's love, more and more people are going to come to the Lord, and we're really going to experience God in even greater, more wonderful dimensions.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com.
It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation, and this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. Well, I do want to say that I had an epiphany.
You okay?
Yeah, it was a moment. It was a moment that when I was checking to see if my shoes were untied or not, and then I had to get a mirror to find out.
They were down there.
Right. I just had to have faith that they were down there. No, it's not like that. But, you know, you just get to that point, literally. You know, this is a mounting of obstacles there. That you have to say, you know what, I am going to, by God's grace, in view of his mercy, begin to resize myself.
That sounds painful.
Yeah, well, you know, Pat's just challenging this, isn't he, Chris? I mean, he's coming in here. He squeaks when he walks now. You know, he's like running in place when we're on the radio, just trying to just sweat things off. It's like, you're really making this feel really bad.
Really bad.
Really, really, really bad. When he eats, he's like a quarter of a sandwich or something with a piece of lettuce on it or something. Right. He chews on it really loud.
I know, I've seen the size of those sandwiches, but
are
they are.
How does that work? We eat less.
I know it. Yeah. And he's like, he eats. I can't tell you how many times a day he eats. But it's a lot. Look, it's way
but
more.
But if you
than
add
I
it
do.
All up, it's, you know, that's insignificant.
It must be. And Chris and I are deceiving ourselves somewhere along the line.
Somewhere I'm lost.
Trying to figure this out, you know. Somebody says, well, I eat salad bars. Have you seen a salad bar lately?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. It's like, anyway. So I appreciate all your prayers out there as I take this journey of following the doctor's orders, which you probably heard years ago when I talked about it. I've decided now is,
that last
now is the time.
Now
is the time. What happened, instead of losing that weight, I just lost the doctor.
Got me another one.
Yeah, well, actually, I did. I didn't do it intentionally. I mean, he got transferred, and I have a new doctor. He's a good doctor. He just came back from being in Afghanistan, serving over there, and he's back. He's a good doc. And the way I work things out with him is I just don't go see him, and therefore
everything's okay.
You don't get any medical advice at all. It's amazing how that works. Yeah, I'm fine. So I got this little app now that you can measure the calories, how many calories you're eating, because you got to stay under a certain amount of calories, according to Pat, mm-hmm. to be able to lose weight, like 3 calories a day, something like that.
Well, a little bit more than that.
4. And and so you got to write down, you just have to write down, I guess, the calories that you would eat or ingest. And really, I mean, obviously from my history, you know, I got a chance in the past to work with a trainer that way past. And ignorantly, we don't know about our food. We just don't know what we're eating. Because
right.
sometimes we're eating stuff and we're thinking, what's the big deal? This is just ice cream. and we don't realize how many calories are in, like, cheese or something. Or tater chips sprinkled over cheese. Tater chips are evil.
They are very
calories, huh?
Oh, they're terrible.
And if you have a chip in your mouth right now, Jesus loves you. Don't
down.
Worry about it.
Step
put
away
it
from
down.
The bag.
Step away from the bag. Put it down. And you're only lying to yourself. And believe it or not, don't eat chips. So you count your calories, and so you would have to write that down. But now they have an app for that. And you point it at yourself, take a picture, and it says, you're fat. No.
You scan yourself.
It's like, oh, my goodness. You got to be careful. You never know what these phones are going to do. It's totally amazing. So I just have, if there's any, anyway. So the, but, you know, I remember this app, you know, years ago when it was first getting started. It had a abacus thing in it and stuff to be able to slide little stones over when you'd eat something. But now it's so efficient that if you have a barcode on the side of a package, what you're about to eat, you just snap it and it knows what you're eating.
Yep.
And it tells you, know, how many you're eating of that stuff, which is great because that's the big thing is trying to take the time to write that stuff down.
Exactly.
And so I started and embarked on this journey. So if I want to find out what's happening with Eddie. I know Eddie's on insanity. He's doing the insanity thing.
That's what I heard.
Yeah. I mean, he's been real quiet about it,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
But we'll see soon.
We will.
We'll see soon when he's on the beaches down here. He's like, how's the insanity going? You know, I was just thinking, I want a sailboat. I want to be able to sail in the Gulf of Mexico. Wow. And a small one, just wow. Real, like, about, like.
We had one when we were kids. Remember that?
Yep. I
should oh, be. Get out of Dodge.
I should remember
on
that.
Second Street?
Yeah.
Oh, was it like a sunfin or something?
It was, not very big.
Yeah.
Like 14-footer.
I'm thinking about it. I don't know what it would be called, but. It's just to get on the beautiful water out there. Don and I were traveling this weekend, and we came over a body of water at some point. And it's just so peaceful. The second you come out of all whatever's going on in the land and stuff, and you come over a bridge and there's water on both sides of you, it's just so peaceful. Something serene about, I mean, think about the glassy sea, you know, in heaven.
What's cool about that is they don't break down.
They don't, yeah.
Like motors, man.
Right. I'm going to go get
no
some
gas.
Stuff from the store. Get on the sailboat. We're going to go to the store.
No fuel.
Just wind. And, yeah, I really thought about that. So I'll be looking for one that's, you know, fairly about 14 foot, I'm thinking. Something like Jim had.
Something you can handle by yourself.
Yeah. Well, I had a story, you know, years ago, we used to live on the beach, and Daphne, my sister, and I, when we were younger, rented a sunfin. I think it was like a sunfin, maybe a little bit bigger than a sunfin. And we got on the bay, the Pensacola Bay, and we were going to just sail across the bay because we've been living on the island. So what's the big deal? It's just a little kite with a boat on it. Mm-hmm. And we got on, we rented the sailboat, and we got on the water, and we sailed perfectly. Straight out. Just like 90 miles an hour. Like, this is great.
Right to the Gulf.
We would hit the bridge, probably went with that. But it just straight out. And it's like, oh my goodness. This is wonderful. And then we realized we don't know how to go to the right. We don't have to go to the left. We don't know how to turn around. We can just go straight. Like when we were diving that time.
Right.
And so we had to we tried to spin that puppy. We tried to tic-tac it, you know, all these different things that they supposedly said. And then we were over all the seaweed, nasty stuff. And as a kid, your imagination's going wild. Like, I can't get out here. We can't walk it here. And finally, we just pulled it up on shore on the other side of in another city. And I stayed with the sailboat, and Daphne walked all the way over the bridge.
Are you serious?
Yeah, and came back and got the folks. And she's probably laughing when we're talking about this. And they came and got the boat. It was pretty tragic. So,
Wow. Obviously,
I'm going to need some lessons, but my doctor told me that he would teach me. He would teach me. He says it's real peaceful, and it's a great, you know, a stress releaser. And it's pretty cool to be on the water out there. I remember once we were swimming as kids, and that was the perfect life. I wish I would have known how to enjoy it better back then.
I know.
Life works backwards, right? The frontal lobe don't develop till you're like 25. Mm.
Yep.
You can't really appreciate things.
Yeah.
And every day I would get up, come home from school, and I would be on an island. I'm a, like flipper. I mean, this is like, I'm on the island every day. And I would go swimming, and we'd do all these different things together. But I would have enjoyed it even better. And it was amazing how many friends we have when we lived on the beach because everybody would come over and visit.
Yeah, right.
We didn't realize that we were the beach house. That's why they were actually coming.
Imagine that.
The beach house. So that's my excursion and losing weight and getting a sailboat by God's grace.
Great plan.
Yes.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today is Pat and Chris. And I like that sailboat idea. As you know, I've been having that on my heart as well. So we must be, you know, we must be connected there. But I'm definitely going to, you know, I'm really going to work real hard to get
something
me a sailboat.
Something about a sailboat, and you just, I don't know, they're not clicking.
Come on, man.
It's not clicking.
Listen, you know that I'm basically a fish. I love the water. I love the ocean.
So why don't you go diving then?
But I've been on a boat with you. Yeah. I just, you know, I don't get it.
But that was a one-time experience, Chris, on the boat many, many years ago, at night, no less.
Right. And the most even choppy. Better, you don't see the waves.
Oh, I felt every bit of those waves in the dark. Man, I was good.
If you're such a fish, though, why won't you go diving?
Maybe one day. Maybe one day. I like to be on
he's
top.
A little minnow.
I like to be on top of the water. Now, I don't know how so much down, you know?
Okay.
But I, you know, do like the water sports, you
Skier.
Know? I don't want to say scared. Concerned. Concerned would be a good word. But, you know, I told this story what happened to me and my brother-in-law one time going on that kayak, you know. It was this big school of fish. I've shared that. Oh, yes, yes.
No, what happened?
Sharing it.
Yes.
Please do. Confess.
You know, me and Jay were on this kayak, and it's a beautiful day, man. Those kayaks, they give you an illusion because on the water, they feel like they weigh nothing. But them things are like about 100 pounds of solid plastic. Yeah, at least 100 pounds. Got to be
this
more.
This is
than
a kayak.
That. A kayak.
When you're sitting on it, okay.
Right. It was a 2-man kayak. It's pretty big. Probably maybe 12 feet long. Probably. Okay. And there's just solid plastic. You know, they're built, but they float more and all that. Well, the waves are really choppy. So one side has a handle, and the other for that person to carry. You need two grown men to carry this thing. There's no one man can drag this that heavy. And so we're in the water, and the waves are just all over the place and just smashing us, and we're like, we're gonna go into the deep. We're gonna go into the deep. We're gonna do this thing. We're gonna conquer these little waves. So we finally, you know, we fell over a couple times. You get a good wave, it's a 200-pound weapon. It's gonna bang your, you know, ankles or your shin right underneath you. I mean, you gotta get out there pretty quick because if you stay in the shallow, that thing will beat you to death.
It's no joke.
So we get out there and we hop on and we're paddling towards the wave now, towards the wave. So you're rising up with the water, man, and it's like, oh my goodness, you know. And you got to keep your balance.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're making it good. We're like going way out deep now. We've overcome a couple waves. We, you know,
feeling good about yourself, huh?
Huh? Yeah, you're feeling good because we haven't
capsized.
Yeah, we've fallen about 5 times prior to that, you know. So now we're doing good, and all of a sudden, we're in deep water now. We're past the part where
you're in no man's land.
No man's land. You know, in the beach, there's a certain portion where they have the rope.
Past
this far, you know.
You're on your own bow.
So the lifeguards are not responsible for you. We have passed the rope, and all of a sudden, okay, before a huge wave comes, there seems to be like this valley, this valley before the wave is cresting up over you. And all of a sudden, we see this huge, huge school of fish. And I'm telling you, these fish had to be at least, I don't know, they look like 3 feet long in length and maybe 2 feet wide. And it were these dark, dark black spots. I'm thinking, what kind of fish? What is this?
Uh-huh.
What is this?
Right.
And we're like, oh no. We're like, don't fall. Oh my goodness, Jared, there's a school right below. Don't fall in this. And as soon as we said don't fall, we fell right over them.
Oh no,
man, you haven't seen two men move so fast. he says that I caused the kayak to fall over.
Well, you probably did.
No, I didn't. I was paddling really good, you know. I was moving side to side. You can get it, you use both sides of this thing,
right. Mm-hmm.
And we fell. I didn't jump the gun, and I didn't blame him, you know, but he tends to blame me on that one. But man, that was a blast. I mean,
wow.
It's so much fun. We made it back to shore.
Did you ever see the fish up close?
No, no, praise God. I mean, they just came right underneath us, I guess, kept going. But I thought, okay, I'm going to be with Jesus out here.
It's over.
It's over. These things are going to get me, whatever they are.
Elizabeth, I'm coming to join you, honey.
Man, not too long ago, I even saw a stingray. A stingray that came real close up to the shore. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's all sorts of stuff in there, but I'm an ocean guy. And this time, I think, I liked it. Been on the jet skis. I like that. Uh-huh. But I think it's an...
I'm going to get you under the ocean one day.
No, I don't know about under.
I'm going to get you under.
I don't know about under, but I definitely want to, you know, cruise the water, do a little, you know, Christopher Columbus type stuff and, you know, uh-huh. get out there and explore a little bit.
Right.
Mm. You know, my son and I had a journey on a canoe, but that's for another time on VFN Radio.
We don't have time for that one.
No, we don't have time. And that was a very interesting moment, but... in the water. We got to be in the water. We survived it. We made it. You know, as we come to the end of the extra hour, I do want to share with you the top three of the torch. And we want to really help you to get connected with the torch and some of the things that are on there so you can continue to share with your friends. But one of the ones I want to share with you is you can't receive love until you forgive. Start forgiving yourself. And start with yourself. And this is a great highlight where we talk about, listen, forgiveness, forgiveness, forgiveness. You got to forgive yourself. People right now are punishing themselves for things that they've done years and years ago, and they've asked the Lord to forgive them, and God has forgiven them, but they haven't forgiven themselves. So they're filled with self-hate, and they're just, you know, going over and over again what the enemy has been lying to them in their mind. And I want to tell you that you can get set free from that today, and you can begin, and it's okay to forgive yourself. It's okay to give yourself a break and say, listen, mm-hmm. I forgive myself. I forgive myself and move forward. Of course, ask the Lord to forgive you, but forgive yourself. Because once you forgive yourself, then you're going to be freer to offer that same type of forgiveness to others. And you're going to see everything in your life change when you start moving in forgiveness. Mm-hmm. The second one I want to share with you, a move of God is in the inside of you. A move of God's on the inside of you. Listen, God is doing tremendous things all over the world right now, and especially right now that we know of in Tonga in South Africa. There's a great awakening that's starting in Africa, and we're believing it to come to the West. But listen, God wants to pour out his spirit, and there's a move of God on the inside of you. And if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say, God, do it in me. Do it in me. We talked about a personal revival that starts in your heart. And this last one, I wish I had more time to share about it, but this one is called The Dangers of Pride, and it kept God's people out of the promised land. Don't be a victim of pride. Listen, don't let pride and self-centeredness hold you back from everything the Lord has for you. God has a land flowing with milk and honey, but you're going to be able to go into the land and take the land only through humility, which is total dependency upon God, and respect for other people.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.